It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
I'm going to go and confess to the police next week when we go to court. It'll take me across the road. I want two 45s with silencers on them, and I want them handed to me by Jimmy Rimmer's sister. Not Jimmy himself. They know him as a virtual Wild West gunsel. But his sister was quite good at passing things quietly in the street. That's how nuts I was. I wanted a flatbed truck to go past with a mattress on it, so after I'd let the guns do the talking, I'd jump on the back of that and away. What, to run away? No, to go full Apache. I mean, Chato's land, no one left. His saving virtue was he behaved himself during the kidnapping. Yes, there is a kind of decorum with these things. And I know it was all genuine. Why? I'll tell you why, because he said that the worst part of it was being tied up in uncomfortable positions. And now that might sound trivial, but if you're tied up, like belly down, for example, with your appendages tied behind you, that is unbearable after a while. You can't roll anywhere. Oh, it's just, you end up screaming. I mean, I know the Russians used to tie people to radiators, and they like their heating. Here I was with the good people dead, the riffraff still around, some great sense of something unfinished, undealt with, a lot of things at a loose end. I'd have to start new and different in some way.
Wow. It is a huge delight after a gap of, I think, about 2 years now.
Has it been that long?
Episode 14, David Macmillan. Some of you more recent subscribers may not even know who he is.
Probably don't even have a clue. I go way back, and Sean Scott, you've got something like a podcast with all our old episodes on it, isn't it?
David has done so many episodes. He has box sets, which I will put in the description box if you want to watch them. And while David, just in a nutshell, tells you his backstory, while I sip on my hype energy drink, because baby Ziggy stayed up till 7 in the morning the other night. I was wheeling his pram around the town centre trying to get him to sleep. While I sip on my hype energy drink, David, link in the description box, will rehash.
Say, Sean, you sure sound like you need a bit of energy. If only you had. Why? What is that?
It's the cherry flavour.
Cherry flavoured hype, I think. That's a combination perhaps too far for me at my age. But while you're glugging that down, people, it must be over 3 years ago now that I first came to Sean.
Five.
5 years, is it? Well, way back. And I began to tell my story. It's a life. I'm creakingly old now. But in my teens, I started smuggling contraband around the world. Started in India, wasn't it? With the Shoeshine Boys. And they didn't have much to offer, but that took me through the Hare Krishnas. Then what would you call it? I don't know, 5 boxes of grain shoved into an old radio, taken back to Australia. Oh, foolish lad that I was. But very kind customs officer, let me through with that one. Was he wrong? Probably. A dose of prison was what I needed. But apparently that wouldn't do any good, Sean, because a very early arresting officer said, "You'll be back." Apparently because I didn't respect men enough. But we'll come to that. Then on to smuggling throughout all of Asia, Afghanistan, Bangkok. Contacts? No. Scrape them off the street. That's where I got mine.
Let me interject. David has been on Danny Dyer's Deadliest Men. David has had a movie made about his life. David has got 2 books out. It is the most breathtaking story we have ever had on the True Crime Podcast in terms of its scope. He escaped from death row in Thailand, the only Westerner to do that. I mean, my heart was almost popping out of my chest, listening to the stars align as he describes in meticulous detail, from the fake laser gun pen to swimming through Crap Creek to
Marsbar Creek.
And as you may have already detected, David speaks in Australian Queen's English.
Very old-fashioned accent it is.
Such a... People say they can fall asleep listening to...
I'm nodding off now.
This cherry then, is such a delicious... The cherry flavor.
I can see it's giving you energy. You need to rip open the green one to settle you down after
it's
that.
It's my favourite, the cherry.
A lot of people make cherry, but not everybody gets it right.
Then, anyway, let me end my interjection with all of David's links are in the description box. If you want to get his books, audio books, check out his work and go to his YouTube channel where there are 10 times more videos over there on his life story.
Half of them stolen from you.
Back to you.
It might be fortuitous that it's been a bit of a gap because just the other night... I had one of those dreams you have where, I mean, all our dreams we live in the past, the sets, the arrangements go back to early days. But it was back to the early smuggling times, which, was it all ruthless like the movies? No, as I've told you, not so much. It's a matter of calculating your own survival. For example, whatever it is that you're bringing, whether it be from South America or Asia, the customers, if they are important enough, they will scare off the raggedy-ass small fry, you know, the cheap gunsels, the 4-bit gangsters who want to come and help themselves, which a lot of that goes on. But I didn't really have that problem. Oh, yes, I regret many things. Perhaps not what everybody thinks, but regret many things. And was kind of surprised at then not knowing what to do. I ended up with a load of cash and a coffee table in the living room, but no other furnishings in the house. And it was almost depressing getting back in one piece. Why? Because I hadn't been arrested? Not so much that. The only good part was working out how to get through it. In fact, it probably... I was so kind of off the rails and naive in a way, it wouldn't have mattered what it was as long as it was difficult to get through. Somebody said, peanuts are outlaw. I would have gone straight for the hard stuff, macadamias, Brazils, all of that. I really, in a way, didn't want to give it to people. But a bit of clumsiness, leaving myself open to investigation, led to a big arrest in Australia. A huge trial, 6 months long, something like that. 120 witnesses, 9,000 pages of telephone intercepts and transcripts. Because it was so long, the jury wasn't sure about it. They half wanted to let us go, but convicted on one thing. That was enough for his honour. Belted me away for 15 years, of which I served 10, in fairly tough condition in Supermaxes, because there'd been deaths in the case. Yes, the police talked it up, saying, oh, McMillan and his partner Sullivan are having witnesses bumped off, but it wasn't that. An informer was, because we wouldn't speak, everybody in the family was arrested. My wife was arrested. Michael's wife was arrested. They were held in the women's prison. They put an arsonist in with them as an informer who got, yes, careless with matches. And it's very hard to imagine how primitive prisons were at that time. They had no TVs and radios, just a kind of loudspeaker. And at 11 o'clock at night, they'd shut it off. And the last words I heard that there'd be a fire in the women's prison. So then it cut off and the door opened at 7 in the morning. So it was a long night. Ran out. Guards wouldn't make eye contact. Nobody would speak to me or Michael. Visits came out. I don't know. It's a bit of a haze. The whole family was there. She was dead. Clelia was dead. So was Michael's wife. Putting aside my own feelings about it, that generated enough material for the police to scare all the couriers, who then turned state's evidence. So a real challenge there. I was completely off my head. When my lawyer came out, I handed him a piece of paper with a little chit note to a friend. That'll get you $250,000, Rainer. I'm going to go and confess to the police next week when we go to court. It'll take me across the road. I want 245s with silencers on them, and I want them handed to me by Jimmy Rimmer's sister. Not Jimmy himself. They know him as a virtual Wild West gunsel. But his sister was quite good at passing things quietly in the street. That's how nuts I was. I wanted a flatbed truck to go past with a mattress on it. So after I'd let the guns do the talking, I'd jump on the back of that and away. What, to run away? No, to go full Apache. I mean, Chato's land, no one left. Luckily, my old hippie lawyer calmed me down from that. And I survived the 10 years in the Supermax. This place was so bad. I mean, they closed it eventually, but it held 48 people. Just in 1 year, there was 36 deaths alone. Mostly people carving each other up, you know. Some of the greatest nutcases in Australia were housed in that place. A kidnapper of a bunch of school children was in there, Ted Eastwood. I'm trying to remember whether he found Christianity after this or before. I'll say after, because when I passed him in the corridor, he was cleaning up his hands from the exercise yard where he just dispatched Alex Tasmarcus, who was another killer. You know, the killers in these big prisons vie with each other for who's got the most, who's got the numbers.
Killer kudos.
Yeah. I mean, you probably come across this with other people who've sat in the equivalent of this Chippendale, is it? Mm. Even if there was nobody else to kill, they'd talk somebody into killing themselves in the next cell. But it's a jail. What do you expect?
The YouTube word we use now for that is unaliving themselves.
Oh, yeah. I quite like that.
It's got a good flow, isn't it?
Discirculating? Or,
discirculation.
He went into discirculation, I'm afraid. He's not as talkative as he once was. Now, I got out of there. I clawed my way into a lesser evil prison, then an open prison, which was insane. Wouldn't I say that? The open prison was insane. They put me in charge of the local cafe, which sold to the staff and visitors, and handed me the keys and said, "We've heard about you, McMillan. You hang on to those keys. And don't let those b****es near the cash." I said, "Well, sir, the prisoners don't get down." "What prisoners? I'm talking about the staff, my officers. Don't trust a one of them. Don't give them credit either. Oh, and you've got to make $1,000 a year. So instructed. I did accordingly. I made a little bit more than that. But what killed it all was when I was released, they were waiting, the same policeman. They even visited me, said, "Well, can't wait, David." And what they did was really quite effective. It was following me. It was kind of mind games. I mean, original old-style gaslighting, getting into my flat and moving things around and then, blatantly being stuck behind me in traffic. I couldn't really live with that. I tried to go and visit the crematorium where Clelia was, but when I got out of the car and got closer, I picked up the police. I couldn't get it. It sounds very odd, Sean, but I couldn't bring myself to get any closer. Remember, for 10 years, because that's what I served. I mean, there was a helicopter escape charge, but it's a saga. It had been as many helicopters as promised. They would have needed air traffic control in the guard towers, believe me. Everybody had a helicopter scheme. I was the only idiot who went down for it. Anyway, during all of that time, I never had... Look, if you go into a long-termers prison cell, apart from some god-awful Christian art, you'll see pictures of family or whatever. I had nothing in there, not a single thing from home, because everything had been stripped away. I didn't want them, my perceived enemy at the time, to be handling stuff that meant anything to me. So you can imagine when I was trying to visit the grave, if they were there, it would kind of kill it twice. So get out of town, only thing to do. Went to elaborate lengths to part of this dream I had the other night, and it kind of replayed the whole thing. I went to elaborate lengths to make sure I wasn't followed. And where was I heading? I was coming here to the land of my birth, England. But I was going to stop in Thailand to pick up some money. Old rule, this should discourage people from crime. You cannot survive a 10-year sentence with anything you went in, no matter where you put it, who was holding it, where it's buried, what the commodity is. Gold will turn to lead in the mysteries of long-term jail sentence storage of assets, and not to mention the law, which confiscates the confiscations. You know how deep it goes? If say some of the alleged ill-gotten gain from your rave parties years ago, if... Under these confiscation laws, if you'd invested that in a company and the company, and it was seed money for a company and it had done very well, the entire company would be theirs. It's kind of like a never-ending tax jump. I'm not grumbling about that. Who cares? It's only money. You know? That's why. You know, I said to a judge once in a court, I said, "Well, Your Honor, I guess the only thing I can say in my defence is that I don't do any business in this country, in the UK, and I pretty much supply foreigners who pay me in their currency, Scandinavian money, and I transfer that back into pounds. Now, Your Highness, I think he was upgrading his status every time I said anything, is that I'm digging myself a bigger hole here. What I've done, you see, I've taken all those pounds that fellow Englishmen have carelessly spread around the world into the hands of Johnny Foreigner and brought it back where it belongs. Is that worth something? Well, I got 6 years, so I guess it wasn't worth much. Now, when I stopped in Thailand on my way to a new life, having taken these massive precautions, you know, the passport had to be perfect. This means it can't be a forgery, it can't be a fake, it can't be put together. No picture swaps, no somebody's been, these days they check births and deaths registers, it all combines, so the idea of finding an old newspaper and getting somebody about your age who died in infancy using that birth certificate to generate the... No, will not work. I had to do it in the only way that such a thing can be done quite perfectly. Now, just for information's sake, what that does involve, a friend has to kind of fall on his sword a bit here. You go to somebody and say... Nicky, I've got to get out of Dodge. Go and apply for your passport. But don't put in the papers. Just go to the dentist and have him countersign it and so on.
Know what that means? Ooh, I've been hearing that a lot lately. That's what I hear when we make another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling Pokemon cards, or hoodies. Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow your business. Covering all your sales channels from a shopfront-ready POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Full of the industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth, Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without learning new skills in design or coding. And thanks to award-winning help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. What's lovely about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and control to take your business to the next level. It's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/Sean, S-H-A-U-N, all lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/Sean to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/Sean. Link in description box if you're watching this on YouTube. Thanks for supporting our sponsor. Back to the podcast. Cheers.
And then if you're ever asked in the future, you say, well, I don't know, I broke up with that girl. We never went to Malaysia. The whole thing never happened. I don't know. I think I must have thrown the whole thing in the rubbish bin. Yes. What? You're telling me somebody dug it out of my rubbish bin and swapped the photo? And when they rang the dentist said, yes, he came in 2 days ago and I signed it. I'm going to say what he looked like. But having gone to all that trouble, rang somebody over there, a contact who was tied up in the big case from the Golden Triangle, and didn't know that he was being watched constantly by the USDEA. So from day two, I'm only there 3 days. On the third day, I try to leave the country. I go to the airport. They're everywhere. You know what, how you know police are on your case? They're not looking at you. They refuse to look at you. You can stare at them in the face. They just won't take you in. So that was it. I had to sink into the crowd. I melted away. I took two taxis, a couple of tuk-tuks, went through a supermarket, went to the Monte, had a couple of drinks, got on foot. So I've lost them, yes? No, I haven't, because I've walked into a travel agency where there's a pile of cigarette butts down there, and that tells you somebody's been standing there waiting for something to happen, and I was the something to happen. So then they steamed in. It was so depressing. I only really, well, I wanted to die, but you don't have the privacy to find the ultimate way out like that. What saved me? I don't know. Does time heal all wounds? No, it doesn't. But hope does. And a rather slick Bostonian con artist. He was having me on. You can imagine you're in a big prison, and what have they got in Thailand? The only people, all of the locals, if they're big enough, they're pretty much out. It's all dealt with in the police station before you go to court. Just the Westerners there were the lost souls, the detritus, the withering leaves that have been blown into the cordons of Asia and absolutely hopeless. And quite a lot of them rather cruelly set up too. So, there were plenty of people trying to trick me and get what they could, but I pulled myself together. I moved to the sentence part of the prison. It's a huge place. You know, I only found out last year that it actually holds 20,000 people. That's in 10 prisons. There's a women's section, and I don't know, they've got all different names. None of it means terribly much. They're not all women in the women's section, and they're certainly not all men in the men's section, that's for sure. They used to have... Building One was very popular on Saturdays when they had internal visits. Definitely internal. Mm. So it would be only when they ran out of estrogen from time to time that the thing would get pretty disgusting looking. They had beauty contests and everything. They didn't trust foreigners. They wouldn't let you on the ground floor. I was up on the third. And... I knew that if I shared any of this with a local, I'd be finished. I think those who are interested can go to, I think it was in your box set, episode 5, the details, the long, long night that got through that. And it was a night that a couple of my cellmates... I mean, this was a private cell, so it only had 6. And there was only one informer in there. But, what an informer. You know, the kind, one slap to get him talking and 5 to shut him up, that kind. So it could not be delayed. And the sun was rising as I got to the outer wall. But I did that what? I found a place to hide in the world, in Balochistan, where my old friend Noorjahan Magsi sheltered me for quite a while. Now, a lot of people, friends, supporters, people who'd sent me money while I was in there, you can live pretty well for $500 a month, though I spent more than that. They... were kind of angry with me for putting my toe back in the water. Toe? Did I say toe? No, I think both feet. In fact, it was a triple 2.5 gainer swan dive from the other end of the pool. But a lot of people, this is my excuse, entirely fallacious, nonsensical excuse. A lot of people had supported me, and I had to, you know, like break half a dozen laws even to get back to the UK, and the passports I had were laughable. I was even using the one that a Thai Chinese friend had supplied me. I mean, you said I had some good fortune on that night. Can you imagine meeting somebody in a prison who then gets released and has the contacts? And goes to the trouble of getting you a passport, which has had the picture changed in it, and it's on the computer, and it's got the correct stamp on it, and everything else about it is correct. The odds are remote. So what was planned? Was it going to be a happy life after that? Nope. when am I getting? I'm getting older now. Yeah. I'm in my 40s. I found myself, in a funny kind of way. I think I would have been happy staying in Balochistan just as his lordship's white man. Agora, they say there in Urdu. It really means like a white horse. But it's quite, if you're a well-to-do local, you have your own Westerner. And he'd come up to me and say, stand over there and look at things. And when there was a business meeting going on, you know, and look like you're doubtful about it all. And he'd leverage that to, you know, get some advantage in some way. Oh, he's got a white man, is he? Yeah? But what about my son's education? You know?
Of course.
I could have opened a university on the promises I'd made. So, I did get back to Europe, staggered into Athens Airport after a needlessly complicated dogleg through Oslo.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right. It was doing that because the Pakistan International flight, you know, PIA, they call it prayers in the air. This is hoping that you're going to get there in one piece. They diverted the whole plane because some big shot was on board. So they changed the flight plan for it. But it suited me because it meant that I was coming back from Oslo technically isn't an EU country, but it's within the Scandinavian Union and part of the EU's customs agreement, so it was all fine. And from nothing, started again. A little different in spots, South America this time. Interesting thing. I'd mentioned before, didn't I, that it was the only really enjoyable part was figuring out how to get around the obstacles. So the research, the travelling. When was the last time you went on an international flight, for example?
That was to Romania earlier this year.
No Andrew Tate connection in any of that, was
yeah, there? We interviewed those, the Tate brothers, yes.
Oh, I see.
If you want to watch that, watch it on the podcast. It's on the True Crime podcast.
It's
but they're prison experiences.
Mm. Yeah. How did you find him? No.
So they were very good speakers. I'd say Andrew got a lot of energy, a lot of charisma. Tristan had a lot of charisma as well. Eloquent, very well educated. Yeah. Tristan's like a James Bond. He would make a good James Bond, Tristan, I would say.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's got a look that's a little more flexible. Mm. Andrew's somewhat one-shaded in a way. They always seem to be in trouble. Well, but do you think outside sources are putting pressure on the Romanians to give them grief?
Yeah, because they're going to get more cases around the world. They've been speaking out about war and big pharma and things like that. But we need to go over your summary to get into the...
Yes. right. Where was I? Oh, yeah, that's right. South America. But I had a call back from Noor John had got himself arrested. I mean, he was already on bail for killing 130 people. I mean, that sounds like a lot, but it was a massacre, so you don't know how many are going to. And it was quasi-political. Anything in that part of the world is quasi-political. The jails are full of political... I don't know whether you've ever heard of MQM. It was a Karachi-based political movement. There's one connected with the Bhutto family. Benazir Bhutto, she was prime minister there. It's not funny that Muslim countries, I can think of two in that part of the world that have had women as prime ministers.
Assassinated.
Yeah, she was assassinated. Her husband was arrested for that. He was in at about the same time as I ended up in there. Yes, I went back. Because Little Iftikhar had disappeared across the border into Afghanistan. Noor John wasn't making any sense. You know, look, as wonderful a guy as he is, when he's in trouble, don't expect any conversation to end up with anything except expensive. And learned a lot about how to deal with people across there. I didn't even really notice it, but the Taliban were twice in charge at the time I was there. But they really just were bunches of criminal gangs, as far as I could tell. I mean, it's worse now, but believe me, they'll somehow end up being respectable in another generation. Poor women, though. I get a rough end. Went back there, managed to find the cousin, got him out. When I went to leave the country, I got arrested. Extraordinary circumstances, but, you know, does that mean I'm extraordinarily stupid or just unlucky? A little unusual. At least I'll give the gods one thing, even though it's ruinous and terrible and every awful thing you can imagine you might ever ask yourself does end up happening. I was tortured in a basement in Karachi there. I ended up in Karachi Central Jail, which is kind of a... Yeah, nobody's anybody until they've been arrested in Karachi Central Jail. Some of the richer people have even built houses in there. But since it's a summary and going quick, the short answer is relax. You're not going anywhere. Everybody gets bailed in 18 months or 2 years, so you can deal with your cases then. It was a little bit trickier to move. You can imagine, after all these years, some of the enemies in the authorities that I've made, the ones that have bothered to survive, only out of curiosity. I mean, was I a big player? Not particularly. I didn't like to go out of something that wasn't still within a personal range. Anybody who was ruthless, and I suppose you could say sensible in a way, would have gone, no, I had the connections, go shipping, all of that. But here's the thing, and I learned this from South America, that when you get in bed with them, they really cozy up to you. If you don't stay a small-time independent, you end up just a worker, which we'll come to in a minute. So eventually I cleared that business and found myself... Yeah. Found myself in Scandinavia again. Liked the place. Picking up something from a long-term... it was a self-storage place. I had a friend in there who'd left some bits of crap in there, and I had a few things in there, but it had been cleared. Again, I go to these elaborate things. In this case, it had a... what would you call it? A passive infrared thing connected to a phone. So if somebody went into the storage room, it would trigger it and dial a pager number in London. People are probably a bit reluctant to put a pager in their pocket these days. Well, I left mine sitting on the ledge in the hallway at home in Sloane Avenue. I had a flat there. And that didn't warn me. So I was delayed somewhat in Denmark by... Oh, you're not going to win a case in Denmark, by the way. 98% conviction rate. Unusual attitude to evidence. It doesn't matter who said it or where. If it's against you, we're all ears. Oh, the judges aren't like law school graduates or anything. Sometimes in a big case, if it's a murder or something, one of the many judges, between 3 and 5. It's really like the citizens are the judges as well. They'll refer to the His Honour, not that they call it that, the leader, for legal advice, but really doesn't help. So I returned to the UK, and I'm kind of getting on now, aren't I? Mid-40s, something like that. I remember the River of Fire from the big Millennium. Where were you in the Millennium?
Just Las Vegas.
Wow.
The only fatality happened right by us. A guy shimmied up an electric pole. Yeah. And the crowd was encouraging him to go higher and higher, and he zapped and fell down right by Wildman.
Oh, all right. And it was just a few years ago, too, that he left us. Wildman. I suppose a lot of people will remember that time, but this was a couple of years later. People around me are starting to sort of drop. My old partner from Australia, Michael Sullivan, was it the usual kind of misadventures that got him? No, it was the big C took him out. He'd given up all his vices, you know. I wouldn't recommend that to anyone. unless they're harmful or illegal, of course. But nonetheless, it, by some peculiar coincidence, it seems so many... What was out of Crosby, Stills, Nash? Is it David Crosby? Gave up everything and then dropped dead 6 months later? I don't know. You know what it is? I'm biased. I'm always looking from that side of things. I didn't even really tell too many people that I was... back in the UK. I met Jeanette by then, but it was, you know, not, wasn't completely immersed in her life, as it were. But really, I'd had kind of enough of Central Asia. It had done its worst, and there was nothing more there. But I had my old friends in Cali, and some new ones too. One thing about having a lot of, you know, I think it goes in waves. They say in Switzerland 70% of the inmates are foreigners. But, and it wasn't, kind of depends where you are, but in Copenhagen, it was a little bit similar, but it was really, you know, dance night at the OK Corral for making contact. My little dance card was full of names, it was, and people to follow up and meet and all of that. It's just fortunate that you took the right path, and some of the people you meet, couch to couch with microphones. And Catmore's well, not getting any better, is it? No, but anyway, it's not like you were hooking up to do iffy business. Though, I guess, I bet you if you lined up some of the people you met, imagined that you did something nefarious with them, then look back and run the numbers again and see what happened to them, you know, the ones who went back into things, whatever they said, I bet you didn't turn out well.
Prison, unalived, or nuthouse?
Nuthouse? Really? The stress of it all, was it, or half crazy anyway?
Well, people with serious issues are attracted to substances, aren't they? So it's which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, well, no, I can't imagine. Now, things were changing around this time. This is in the early 2000s.
So we're getting to where we left off.
It was back in, well, we have to go back to 89, don't we, for the Berlin Wall coming down. But it took the world a while to catch up. You probably remember the laughable idea that Mother Russia would become a democracy, and that drunk Yeltsin they had in there, and so on. But it was transitional when people like Putin were waiting in the background, and the old former KGB, whatever they call himself, FSB, isn't it now?
Perestroika.
Step out and end up controlling everything anyway. But it did leave all these Eastern blockers running around who... there was a place down in South Kensington. I would be a kind of second level welcoming committee to... new arrivals to Britain, school them in English ways. Now you bring the money back. Hey, you don't run away with it. I like to run away. I know you do, but but they were relatively good compared with what came. It was just no restriction whatsoever, and we've had... things that are just misunderstood, even things that were routine were changing. There was terrorism in the mix. That didn't help. It used to be, for example, if I wanted to send money to anywhere, but let's just say South America, I could go to... money changers at where was it? Down Leicester Square. Planet Hollywood is another station closer to Piccadilly, I think. Anyway, you go down there and it was an office and you had whatever. You know how that thing really works? The hawala system, you could call it. The money doesn't go anywhere. What happens is you take this. For argument's sake, somebody takes 100,000 in, and it'd be Abdul in Faisalabad. There's a beneficiary who's supposed to get rupees. Does anything go anywhere? No, it doesn't. The people who went into Faisalabad and handed over money saying, I want this for Joe in London. Okay, fine, now we know that. The money I took in goes to Joe, or the equivalent, or the next person who walks in the door, and the rupees that were left there by Abdul, it wasn't Abdul, it was the other one, wasn't it, get collected by the person I want. So in other words, none of this goes anywhere. It's really, in a funny kind of way, the most an almost magical arrangement where nothing happens, but is entirely dependent on somebody's good word. But, and I always thought it was a complete, just a ludicrous myth that the big crackdown on these outfits were, I mean, they were just money changers, but behind it there were a lot more, was because of and finances. Well, it's because you've got a raving lunatic anyway, who's prepared to die for something. What's he going to, how much is he going to spend? A few grand? Buy himself a new pair of flip-flops or something? We've got this, this period I'm talking about. Here we are in 2024. I'm going back 20 years ago. The seeds of kind of unreliable, kind of extreme behavior were being laid. Even the Taliban people I knew, whatnot, they were still businessable. I could still get my hostage back. I mean, there was a price, and that was the trick to it. Of course, you didn't say you were shopping for my hostage. That's the last thing you're going for. No, I was after antiquities. That was my cover story. The Greco-Roman Alexandrian stuff from 2,000 years ago. Surprised they didn't make it. But, I'll take this. Nordjohn's cousin. Yeah, he's here. Oh, he doesn't look too good. Oh, I don't want him. He's all beat up. I'll take him anyway. I'll give you $5,000 for him. So you've got to come around it from a funny way. So I was a little bit wise to stuff. I'd been through quite some awful places. So when I got to South America and asked, well, what's going on here? How are we doing here? Last time I was here, you could do anything you wanted. It was the 70s and the first time. I mean, these were people, Sean, that originally came saying, we can get you like mountains of green and by ship, as long as it's off the 12-mile limit. I thought, well, that's a bit naive. I think if you're going to thunder all the way across the world, I wouldn't worry about the damn limit. Somebody will get you somewhere. And I think I've already spoken of my Danish friend who had a big ship coming from that part of the world. And they'd been careless because the ship had been used for cigarette smuggling. When it was back in the, just before, not long after the wall came down. So, out of Kaliningrad. Do you know that funny bit of Russia that's stuck in the middle of nowhere? Oh, they won't let it go, of course, the Russians. Another insoluble mess. Anyway, I'm sure Donald Trump will sort that one out. I'm going to put my money down on Trump, by the way. We've only got a couple of weeks. By the time this thing comes out, the election will already be done. And where are you putting your Jacksons?
How can you survive an assassination attempt and not get elected?
I know. You think you're owed that much?
Reagan went up 20 points in the opinion polls when he got...
And he had the presence of mind to look for his flip-flops. he lost his shoes in the thing when he was grabbing for that. But when he came to his senses, fight, 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 that's what he said. Now, nobody, if you interview, all the interviews at the moment are saying that... oh, yeah, I'll vote for silly Kamala. I mean, I shouldn't call her, but she does sound like one. It doesn't seem to be able to recall anything, but I just, it's not where I'm going to put my hard stolen money, no. Anyway, let's not digress. I just wanted to get the bet in before... because I'm always wrong about these things. But where I'm right is knowing that the Colombians would do anything for you, but trap you at the same time. Now, as I say, I didn't want anything really too big. Who do I have left to run around with things? I think it was the last days of the Lollipop Man, and he was, in case you missed earlier episodes, he was a natural-born killer. Nothing of the kind. Natural-born courier, that's what he was. He just had that. You know what he did? He changed his name from whatever his real name was to Roland Wynn, W-I-N-N. Get it? Say it quickly.
Roland Wynn.
Yeah, I thought you sap. but it nonetheless, I had a soft spot for him because he was always followed orders, had absolute confidence, and he'd even managed to. That was about then too, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. He. This is something about the nature of the people who seem to be most relaxed in traveling around with cargo. And you know what they're called now? They just call them passengers. That's the new feeble, transparent, useless name for it. And here's an insight into his nature. He was very unlucky in as much as at, was it Barranquilla or Cartagena? Barranquilla Airport. Northern Colombia, heading off to Curaçao, which is like Netherlands Antilles, Dutch territory, stone's throw away, no problem entering. A little problem leaving, got dived on, and his shoes were somewhat overweight, a little larger. In fact, they wouldn't have been a miss in a circus, you know. Bring on the clowns. Anyway, but here's the thing. Got straight on to the lawyer who knows no law and all manner and had him transferred into a hospital. So that, you know, it was relaxed. Went to see him. All right. You're off tomorrow. Don't worry about the airport. Yeah, but my visa's over. Yeah, I'm over. You got caught with a couple of loaded shoes. I mean, but don't worry about stupid visa thing. We'll do that on the day. Oh, I don't know. He was more nervous about having a little bit of paperwork out of line. I mean, he wasn't carrying anything the second time, so it's just a free ride. So, all right, okay, you're going to have to take the long way, which was by boat, you know, along with, you know, ye old traditional works. It ended up taking him to Panama. They all got seasick. That was scary enough. So I don't see how he felt better about it, but nonetheless he did. So he had to be, you know, smuggled into the United States just with a whole lot of Mexicans. And, well, there were less of them than a few from, naturally, Central America, but Venezuelans, they went too keen. I mean, the country's loaded with oil. It's a bad place. And not that I recommend anywhere to go and do anything cargo-like. So, as I was saying, there have been a lot of changes, not just in the Western world, but with, on the one hand, you had a whole bunch of people who do anything for a super low price, except what you really wanted them to do. As far as smuggling and contraband, it was just a host of difficulties. Now, any sensible person would have, you know, thrown in the towel, but there were kind of a couple of loose ends. And oh, I just can't help myself. Couldn't in those days anyway. But here was the thing that we need to know about South America, probably in general, but it certainly... Imagine this. We're winding a mainspring on, what would we call it? The stupidity tension device. Discovered in an ancient shipwreck somewhere. And let's turn it up every year that passes until we get to the extremely stupid teens. But we're not quite there yet. Having kind of been trained through Indian subcontinent, there's really, you know, I'm pretty well schooled at what will happen if you don't. Just as one, my German friend Matthias was still in the game. Now, he's about 10 years older, or was about 10 years older than I. His nerves were shot. We were in Cartagena. This was Cartagena.
That's a condition that happens to many of your employees.
I'm afraid so. They just haven't got the wherewithal for it. I got him to the airport. Now, this was his thing. You know, I was almost only still researching islands at the time. But he had he thought he'd lost his passport. So where's the best place to look for it? Discreetly over by the luggage check-in? No, I think I'll do it in the middle of the floor with a high-density traffic of passengers moving around. And I'll empty my entire suitcase on the ground. Then, halfway through, panic. Better stop for a swig. He's already got a skin full of... tranquilizers of various kinds, Xanax and who knows what. At least the real thing. No one in their right mind would buy it. You know, you used to be able to buy black market prescription things with some reliability. No, forget it. God knows what it is. Horse dung. Anyway, let's go back there. We've got Matthias on the floor there. I've swept him up, dragged him into a corner, put him back together, found a quarter bottle of Smirnoff in his pocket. This is not helping on everything. But he is not really up to it anymore.
It's almost election day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right. He has a sister who is a bit, what would you call it, East German, you know, rather formal. She was pretty good, but she wouldn't take his nonsense. It's not that she didn't want to work with him as a team, but putting up with somebody who's has to be woken up by the cab driver when you reach the airport. You're supposed to fall asleep on the way back from your travels, not when getting on board. Anyway, so, but then there is, we'll call him Pablo the Magnificent, because he's based in, rather hard to say, it was a town, you can, kind of a country town outside of Bogota. But here we are in Colombia, of course. Now, I don't know whether people think Colombia, Charlie and all this kind of stuff and all the rest of the characters over there, but let's keep geography in mind. I don't mean just with this stuff. Let's keep it in mind with everything, because I think there's even a book about, is it Malcolm Gladwell or somebody or other? We are very much subject to where we grew up and lived. You know, Northern European, it's a bit colder, had to get kind of a little bit more cooperative and sensible and believe each other a bit. Whereas in the tropics, it doesn't matter. You're just lying to everybody all morning, just go up and pluck another coconut or a mango in this case, or a cherry in the case of your hype. So, here's what Pablo was kind of middle ground. Here's the problem with people, you could say, level up from Pablo, who had quite a lot of organization and they had some people. What we'll call post Pablos are the majority, and this is. Sean, yeah, no, I got that thing that you wanted. Are you sure you don't want us to pack it for you? No, no, thank you. Right. I've got that under control. Oh, what are you doing with it anyway? Oh, let's see now. I think an airline pilot shoves it between his ears. You're not going to tell us? No, I'm not going to tell you. I don't think it's in anybody's benefit to know about all that. Oh, all right. I'll tell you what, though. I don't know how much room you've got in there, but could you stick a couple of ours in there? A couple of your what? Cotton buds. Yeah, cotton buds. There's no room for any other cotton buds in this thing. I've got all the cotton buds that can go in this thing. Anyway, let me just think this thing through. What happens to your cotton buds? Let's just say we were going to, not that we are, Barcelona. We don't like Barcelona. Where do you like? Oh, you like the place where the price is very high, don't you? I bet you do. Come on, tell me. No way. You love it. A bit icy. Can't resist. I mean, you could go as far as Greenland. Wow. God, the locals pay for that. But here's the next step. If you were silly enough to have post Pablo's two cotton buds stuck with yours, by the time you got to Barcelona, they would say, oh, yeah, you got that all right. That's fine. Look, there is a thing. I'm sure there is. What is it? We haven't got anybody at the other end. The guy met with an accident. What happened? He fell down a plug hole. Oh, yeah, it happens. And what do you want me to do about it? Have a party? No. Obviously, you know people. You can probably unload this for us. Oh, could I? What sort of for? What are we thinking here? We go Harvey's 50-50? Huh? No. Last we checked, it was, and I mean, they know it's like £31,358. And some change, I believe. So, how does this? Well, what's happening here? Well, that's what we get. Do you? Oh, okay. What about this? Let's imagine we leave the cotton buds at Trafalgar Square, and you send your man. Well, I haven't got a man. I think you do have a man. It's just that you don't trust him, and there's pretty good reason, because he's like you. That's why you don't trust him. So they kind of want to get in bed with you that way. I mean, you can even get the ludicrous situation where, now, we have a special thing. Yeah, all right. This week only, all you can eat, flight 206, leaving at midnight. Really? All I can eat? All you can eat? Well, I can only eat five. Well, we've got five. Well, it sounds like a big round number, doesn't it? It does. So, what happens to the other end? Well, you know, and then it's yours. Except for you want your five, of course. You know, coin of the realm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Then you get there. Oh, there you are. It's only five here. Yeah. Sorry, it's not your five. It's our five. let me just hose ourselves down here, all right? And towel off. Is it not the case that I'm just working for you like a bloody donkey? Oh, we don't like to say that. No, I know you don't like to say that, but that's in fact what's happening. What was I saying? That was 58p, by the way, that extra bit of change you were talking. And you want all of that, if you could. Can you bring it over? Oh, of course I can bring it. Any currency you'd prefer? Well, yes, as a matter of fact. Now, this is where all that's headed. And I already knew that from Pakistan because of the smoke and mirrors there. We have a man at the airport. We have this is that. Oh, yeah. Who is this man there? What's he doing? He's letting your man through, is he? He doesn't seem to be paying much attention. Well, that's exactly it. That's why he earns his fee. He is the person. If you wanted somebody to pay no attention whatsoever, that'd be your man. He hasn't got a clue. I'm sure he really genuinely doesn't have a clue because he doesn't know anything about this, does he? Yeah, well, I wouldn't put it like that. No, you wouldn't, because I'm supposed to be the idiot. And you want me to pay an extra 10 large just to pay off somebody who hasn't got a... And if something goes wrong, it was my fault, no doubt. It would be. You are a bit careless.
Just for the viewers, what you're saying then is that you're trying to do a deal with the Colombians, and they're saying, we want you to pay us the UK street price, not negotiate a deal with us. Is that the bottom line of what you're saying?
That's ultimately what it comes to, because they're saying this extra amount is tagged on to the load, because I'm bringing it anyway. I mean, sure, if... you know, I mean, just to humor this farce along, I'd say things like, well, look, the guy who's carrying it, he's going to want some extra for carrying more. Well, how does he know what he's carrying? Oh, yeah. Give him, 2.5 tons and see, well, steam a trunk and put it on wheels and have him drag it through the airport. See how that goes. No, he has an idea what it is. And that's why he just say, all right, we'll pay him something. What? Too. The thing is, he already gets 20. You couldn't pay him 20. Maybe I don't. But the point is, he's my man, so what I say goes on this one. Unless you've got somebody of your own, have you? What? No, that's your mother. You know, I mean, somebody completely inappropriate, you know, that never travelled, wouldn't know what a passport was, ate the airline ticket thinking it was a gift. I mean, and there'd be this constant sort of... And the reason behind this is because all of the people they know by virtue of immigration, their own countrymen, are either living in the West and don't want anything to do with it. Like, look, now I'm all right, go away. In fact, who are you? Click. You know. Won't even talk to them. Or if they're doing things, they don't want these bunches of idiots around. So you'd have to play another kind of game where you're paying a little bit more than what it is, but... You You send your man down to buy from somebody who is kind of like a local, gets it in from the countryside for local Kali dealers or Bogota dealers. It's nothing to do with the international what's it at all. Because the moment you go anywhere near that, everybody gets super ambitious and all of that. But these are all the... oh, and by the way, there's no escaping from Post Pablos. If you can go higher, and there's more, but that just means you end up in a room somewhere with a bunch of people who seem to be, I'm sure that's a policeman. He walks and talks like one. Oh, no, he's taking care of me. I'm sure he is, yeah. This is in the West. And where somehow you're still working for change. You know, you hear stories all the time of some poor schlub in court in the UK who's been driving around God knows what for the Albanians. Oh, he's doing things the Albanians wouldn't do. covers a few things. So, and what's he getting? Like 500-600 a week when you break it down, you know, because it looks like $2,000, but you already owe me.
Of mothers, Carlos Leda of the Medellin cartel used to give his mother three trips to Disneyland with the white. She had the white on her.
Oh, really? Oh, it wasn't a free ride.
She thought it was.
Poor thing. Oh, well, I wonder what her favourite attractions were. It must have been the palace. It's Fantasyland, I think. there's no excusing some people, is there? So, but here we're going back to what seemed acceptable to me at the pre-Pablo, the actual genuine Pablo. Now, Pablo himself was... tended to have things go wrong a lot. But it was through minor cost-saving things that were just stupid. Not putting in an extra trip or renting... an Airbnb for a couple of weeks, even if you're only going to use it for a day in reality. You don't want to be renting anything for a day, you know. Would it want an hour, you know? No, I don't need the key, just leave the door ajar, you know. So things would magically come up and surprise you about... but he was super keen. I mean, he didn't let failure, of which there were many, interfere with anything. Now, where did I first come across him? Oh, right. It was the cousin of somebody, it always is, who was already in locked up over there. He'd been working for Pablo, got him. Got himself arrested. He was one of a series of arrests by the now infamous Pablo SIM card. Now, when you've got a bunch of people visiting your country and you're trying to keep the communications discreet, you generally buy burners, which, yes, Pablo did that. Well, I shouldn't say he bought them. He kind of recycled them. He had a big, you know, box of them. But the SIM card, you actually had to go down, and it was a silly thing, but you had to fill in the form. It was not like here. And even though the form was a bunch of lies and the ID card that went along with it was somebody else's, it was a thing where you had to get up before midday. And it was a thing that you actually had to go and do. And you could send somebody else, but the last time you sent him, there was, you know, you didn't want anybody knowing the number that didn't have to know the number. So I just claim, if I clean the contact points on this SIM card, it might improve its chances. Except that the DEA over there had this telephone number, which no doubt, to huge hilarity around the office, was, it came alive again. I did it. What, that phone sprang out. Oh, it has, yeah. What kind of voices we got the other end? Well, they speak English, some of them. Good enough for us. Yeah. Any American accents? No, sorry to say. Oh, no, no, okay. Well, we won't step in on this one, but we'll certainly burn them. This will be the burner they won't forget. And I remember, because I was visiting, I dropped off. I went to a place to drop off some money for the cousin. And I looked around me. I thought, no, there's no way the cousin's going to get this thing. This is money does not reach cousin from the place where I am. This little barrio favela flat. It does not. It has a path to the jail, but not one that's going to do the cousin any good. So I called in there at the actual jail and picked up a bit of gossip here and there. And it was surprisingly expensive just to get a mattress in there. You've had guests here tell you about South American prisons, but generally speaking,
Posh Pete.
He's an unlucky guy. He went to that horrible, disgusting place.
Check out our video with David McMillan and Posh Pete, which means David's done 13 podcasts plus.
Oh, yes. No, probably 15 actually already, if you count the unofficials.
And our band Virus series.
Oh, that one.
That's on your channel now.
It's on my channel.
You can watch original content of me and David bantering about the corona before it got banned, talking about it got banned.
Yeah. See, I mean, that's the advantage that nobody watches my channel, but at least it doesn't come up above the radar because it's not monetized and never will be because I wouldn't make a bean on it. I'm not going to get sidetracked here, but poor old podcasters don't make anything as soon as it's political anyway, just about, do they? I mean, you only have to talk Israeli.
Depends what side of the politics you're on. Well,
Gaza, you can't win. Any side you're, from a broadcaster's point of view. I know which side I take, but I won't say. Yeah. Now, I just have this thing of Sinwar's flip-flops in my head. I can't shake it out. But back to Pablo. All roads led there. And so, very cautiously, I met him. I said, I think I have kind of got somebody. But he's in a rather delicate condition. What do you mean? Well, he's old-ish. Don't get him to lug heavy things around. Oh, don't worry about that. That'll be okay. Because this was a friend of mine, this old guy, I didn't want him. It was a kind of retirement thing for him anyway. He was kind of past it. But you know how I'd said, don't get him to carry anything heavy. He's got breathing troubles. Mm-hmm. So is the logical thing then to send him to Cuzco, which is in the high Andes? I got a taxi driver on the other end of the phone saying, your friend can't breathe.
Did they give him something to chew?
Chew? I don't think that actually helped. But they do carry little oxygen tanks around there. So he was kind of glued to that and in a wheelchair. Did that help his general cause a bit? I had to intervene. Because it was my friend, I said to him, what flight they got you on? It's at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I said, well, you're getting off that one for a start. I'm sorry, it's going to have to be later. Back to Pueblo. Why did you buy that ticket? It's cheaper, isn't it? You get... The thing is, the whole point of sending somebody up to Cuzco, which is a big tourist draw. Now, the flights go up there, but it's very hazy, misty. It's in a kind of a gully thing. The airport, if you want to call it generously that, gets kind of like smudged off the map through fog and mist early in the mornings and late at night. So you've kind of got one. And the reason you want that 4 o'clock one is because when you check in there, they'll check your bag in right out of the country. They'll double tag it because you've only got an hour between connections, and they don't. Whereas normally it'd be a domestic flight, you understand? Then they just dump your bag in, you get your bag off, you check it in again for your international bit. There's no time for that. You're on the last flight of the day. They always do it, and so they checked this bag right through. Had they not, it would have been like the girls Pablo sent the next time. And Pablo said, didn't we have a whole thing about Cuzco and the last flight out? Yeah? It wasn't me. It was... Look. I mean, we've all heard the excuse factory about, I don't know what went wrong. I gave the job to my trusted lieutenant, Dingbat, and I don't know why Dingbat screwed it all up, but, he's done it again. It's really hard to, I can't think of a flaw that he never made. He even sent me, and I must have encouraged this behavior, he even sent me a couple of pictures of him for a passport. This was the ugliest mother you've ever seen in your life. I said, I'm sorry, mate, it's not going to go through. You got to do something about that face of yours. you know what it reminded me of? An ugly version of the already ugly pineapple face. It was the dictator of Panama.
Noriega,
yeah. Yeah. Now, he was no oil painting, was he?
Lapina.
Very far from it. He looked like, the darts board out in Maybury or something. Full on pokemon. He's died in prison, didn't he?
And of a CIA patsy.
Yeah, I'd very much double crossed. I mean, he gave them what they wanted. He got nothing back.
Don't mess with the Bush crime family.
Yeah, it does look a bit iffy, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not, a big fan of conspiracies. But this is not, we can say it's not really in the category of that lot of conspiracies. It's just the way they did things. It's the way they went, not just Bush. He was in the CIA. He was vice president for a while. I'll think of his name.
Oliver North. No, he wasn't vice president.
No. He was. In fact, they made a film about him. It was just called Vice.
If viewers want to do I've written a book called Clinton, Bush, and CIA Conspiracies, from the Boys on the Tracks to Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, really?
And we cover Noriega in that. Yeah.
I mean, is it published?
Yeah, published. My oeuvre of 17 books.
Wow. Since we last spoke, how many books have you had?
Probably about 50. Five.
Five. Oh, that's pretty damn good.
So, yeah.
I mean,
got you in one of them, Sit Downs with Gangsters.
Yeah, I know. I read that chapter, but I found other people's chapters a bit more interesting than mine.
Well, you've lived it. You just think it's normal for you.
Yeah, I suppose. I think you could do with a sequel on that one.
We've got Sit Downs with Female Gangsters coming out.
Mm.
They just sent me the copy to look over. And then we've got Sit Downs with Serial Killers and Murderers coming out after that.
Oh.
Already written, all three of them.
I didn't know he had any serial killers.
We've had to do, for example, Wild Bill. We did him via WhatsApp voice notes because he's still in prison in Panama serving life. And he was a cartel hitman serial killer.
I'll say the entire debrief, as it were, is via WhatsApp voice notes.
Yeah, that had to be put together.
What, on a legal phone or?
He had a contraband phone, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I mean, I think that gives it a something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you still got 164 pages out of that.
Out of his...
Oh, it wasn't the whole section.
No, it's 10 different people in each one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Natalie Welch is in the sit-downs with female gangsters, who you'll meet tomorrow, perhaps. Venezuela prison, escaped.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No doubt it is. Have you heard her before?
Heard.
Have you had her on before?
Twice. And we've helped her republish her book, Escape from Venezuela's Most Deadly Prison. Yeah. Check it out, folks. Yeah. Got some good book recommendations there. Let's get back to Pablo.
Okay, anyway. there was... you can see where Pablo's just going to be more trouble is worth. So... what we did was tried to change the technicalities of it so that it was not just this thing of running people up against a brick wall of airports and things, because it was becoming very clear by then that the world had changed in such a way that there were only certain amount of places that could be made as sources, only a certain amount of flights that went places. They were narrowing and being intensely targeted. It was really do something different or... get out of that, or you know, that's all wrong. But the thing was, and there's always a loose end in my bag of excuses, and there were a few in this one, but where it did get a little interesting was the flexibility of the material. This could be rubberized, it could be plasticized. It was famous for, took delivery once of a hard shell case. Now, as you know, traditionally speaking, hard shell cases are kind of frowned upon because they're the things that have false walls and stuff like that. Whereas the soft don't. But this was kind of like semi-hard. But the thing was, it had been entirely, it had been dissolved 3-1 with alcohol, had very fine particles of black fibers stirred into the mix, came out as a grey paste, got formed and pressed. Pretty much was reagent proof by the end of it, and it's I mean, you might say, "Oh, these are technicalities that they matter," but people actually kind of get curious about these things. Now, what do you do when somebody gives you a suitcase that you know, but you can't see anything, what do you do? Report it to the nearest Boy Scouts Association? No, you can't do that for various reasons. So instead, you get out a coffee grinder and cut it all up with garden shears, and the coffee grinder, not to be left on for bursts of more than about 30 seconds because overheats. Thing goes gloopy. We need particles here, in theory. Don't want this sticky mess. And then all back into alcohol again, then evaporated down. people say, and I can vouch for their authenticity, that you can speed up the process by putting a bowl in the microwave. But very careful on your timing there, Sean. Many is the flash fire that results from somebody being a little too keen to hurry the thing along. But there is a great reward at the end of it when the entire glass bowl turns into a kind of Christmas special, you could say. ding, 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 ding. I can hear Santa coming, you know.
I can see your eyes lighting up.
Yeah. Tell you what, that suitcase was a gift that just kept on giving. Even though it had been through the mill and had everything done to it a couple of times.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Still, when had nothing better to do, splosh, 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 with the alcohol, ding, 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 with the nuka, and sure enough, there's still residue. Scrape, scrape, scrape. I mean, really. But funny thing about Pablo, he, when, oh, he was a kind of double point with him. He, no matter how good everything was, he somehow managed to take it all and ruin it. The thing that I was most impressed by, and this requires a bit of central casting on this one, is a Jelly Belly. But I know you're scoffing already. You're saying, so what? Seen it before. You know, they're hard as a rock. But no, if the texture's right, and here's the thing with it, the person has to be a little chubby of neck. You can't put some, you know, well past its sell-by date, used-up old chicken like me with a neck like a piece of string. No, no, you've got to have somebody with a good substance to him. So that the clothing, imagine overweight, chubby, kind of stretching, is the trick. It's like a Hawaiian shirt. Make it a size too small. That looks ridiculous. The buttons are strange. That's the very point. Who wants to pat down somebody like that? There's nothing to pat. That you're touching the sweaty looking. Get the hell out of there. Get on that damn plane. Don't want to know about you. There's if the casting of it now. The Lollipop Man, quite a lot could have been done with that. But, you know, to tell you the truth, Sean, I'm not a very good businessman. Once something had been done uniquely well, like the right Hawaiian shirt and the right chubby guy and the right thing, I don't know. I mean, there'd be a living in it and all of that, and everybody has a good time and so on. But it was just a thing. And then Pablo was, he'd worn out his welcome somewhere. There was a whole background. You can imagine that you don't get to hear about that. He's got some policeman on tow. It looks like some neighborhood bully, this policeman, no doubt. Wanting, thinking he's doing better than he is. And all
what, the family members of the girls upset with him as well?
Yeah, they weren't too happy. In fact, I think they made the papers here because there was two of them. Did one get away with it? No. I must... I'll look it up.
What country did they get caught in?
It was in... So they went for the Cusco, so it must have been in Bogota. Yeah, that's right. Remember. The only other place is they go out of Quito in Ecuador. That's one of Pete's old favourite stomping grounds there. I think... the time's long gone for that. But there was a time when that was sort of considered a little bit civilized is the wrong word, but developed a bit more high level westernized, so you wouldn't get so many riffraff do it. Well, if they were up to no good, they were doing it in a respectable way. Whereas, the reputation of Colombia is notorious, isn't it? Since leaving all that wicked past behind me, I put CCTV cameras in for some people. I must know the only Colombians in London that are not involved in that. The whole family, all the people I know, you know how I know they're definitely not? Because they work too hard for a start, though there's no guarantee of it. But you know when somebody sort of winks and hints that they know some people in dark places and all that? Well, if they really did, they wouldn't be saying anything about it, and they just don't want to seem kind of left out. But there is... feel guilty of suspecting that every Colombian you met had somebody or somebody in it or a cousin or something that was part of the business. But that's certainly not the case. I mean, there were people I was meeting out in the shopping malls and whatnot who were all just kind of regular mums and dads and business people. But they still, you know, thought about it. It is... a place that is not more than you'd expect it to be. It's not like as a massive schooling. It was not like India, Pakistan, which was a lesson in depth. This was kind of what you'd expect. I mean, I think I don't know whether I told you personally or here at any stage, but. My driver's taxi. I don't know whether you recall that story. It was some street scallywags stole his. He was a driver. He stole his taxi, and then rang him up and said it's going to cost you. I don't know, like $1,000 or something. You
get it back. Which country is this in?
This is in Colombia. Now, my friend. It was around the time, but less experienced with this sort of thing. Said, well, they picked the wrong taxi there, and not with you around, because you go to your friends and they'll hang them out to dry for that. I said, yeah, it's not going to quite work that way. Let's come out of the movie world and step down to where the streets have got chewing gum on them. And... imagine I think I'm doing a good thing. I go to my big bad guys, or big bad enough, and Pablo's cousin, and say, look, my driver's had his car nicked by these street ruffians. What are we going to do about it? Oh, David, don't worry about that. You know, he'll be driving this afternoon. He'll have his car back, that's for sure. Now, what happens? Yeah, these street idiots, they might be street idiots and don't know any better, but they're still extortionists. They got to back themselves up with something. Even if my guys are bigger than them, are they going to go to war over it? That's a big question there. Or are they going to owe each other favors? And either way, it's not costing me anything, which is the worst possible thing. Children, never leave town without leaving a tip and paying for everything. And that includes sorting out other little messes like this, because if what would happen? As soon as I left, my very nervous driver would get a tap on the shoulder. Oh, you got your car back? You know, that's down to us, of course. And my cousin here. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, don't worry about it. We did it for you, really, not for David. Did you? Yeah, because we like you. We like you. In fact, I know you like us. So what we want you to do is just pop the boot for a minute, will you? Yeah, and run this over there and get back by 3 because we've got some other stuff to do, all right? Right. That'll be the most. They would have, whoever stole his car, they would have gone to war over it. They would have said, here's a couple of hundred. Oh, that's it. So where people imagine there's this hierarchy, there may be, but if you want to get real, who's having the favor done and who's going to owe for it? So I think the little story of the little taxi driver who couldn't is essential reading, because you know then what's going to happen with whatever else. Now, this was where we're going next. Okay. There wasn't. I've got to say, it wasn't really. If you look at the economics of it, let's put aside any ethics or right and wrong. Just the overall economics of South America and Charlie and his pals and all of that. It's not particularly good. If you and I set off for sunny Dubai and loaded up a container full of cigarettes, we'd be in a far, far better position than all of that. Plus, it's wide open. I mean, you can't do anything around there without somebody knowing. And if you want to give it a full backstory, your backstory is better than your front story, if you know what I mean. It wasn't particularly good. People were starting to crumble as well in different ways. I had should I have done this? Maybe not. Shouldn't have. Probably shouldn't have. The Lollipop Man, so named, by the way, if you've missed earlier ones, is because you know the guy who holds a little lollipop for the pedestrian crossing. It's after school times, you know, they always have a certain look to them, uncannily, like a slightly shorter version of our Prime Minister at the moment in Britain. A complete twat and a half wit, but you just wonder how he ever got the job. Didn't get run over by a truck. That's right. I didn't have much work for him. I was sort of It was a kind of retiring, no, but they weren't. I'd taken care of the things that were sort of pressing, and I was more giving advice, we'll put it that way. And I would explain to people, look, I am not telling you what I think you should do. I'm not suggesting this would be better or worse. I'm telling a story. Make of it what you will. My friend here says I should be compensated in some way for telling a good story. Me? I don't even think that far, to tell you the truth. I just can't keep my mouth shut. Now, get a pencil, because you'll need to. And one of them was, just by way of example, and this is how people were changing too, because this guy was doing too many things at once. I don't know whether in your interviews and whatever how current people were, but there was a kind of phase in leading up to about 2010, certainly in the 2000s, where people were just, oh, yes, this is the criminal world. You can do anything, you can do everything. And they'd be doing all kind of not really good at anything particular and getting involved in all sorts of stuff that they hadn't thought through. There's one guy who safely unned himself or dissed himself.
What was your word?
Disidentified. I don't know. I don't think it was an un. I think it was a diss.
It was a great natural word you came up with.
Yeah. Oh, it'll come back to me. He had got into this thing with had scouts looking around for places where the owners weren't in them, and for whatever reason, due to laws or planning or something, weren't being rented out, so were empty, owned by somebody. I mean, you can't put a house off-road, can you? I mean, if you don't want to pay road tax, you say it's swear. Can you swear a house off street? I don't think so. But he would had another bunch of scallywags and an office somewhere that were identifying these places, then cooking it up to look like they owned the thing. You probably heard of this this scam. But this wasn't the only thing that... The girls in the office were busy ringing up people about investing in bottles of wine. You know, wine, you buy it, you drink it. That's all you do to it. So it's got mixed up in that. And where I had my fireside chat to tell was about where it was where passengers might have a good holiday or when they could remember, or not to have one they had to forget or to try their best to forget and have rather too long to forget on their hands. That was... gave a longish talk with lots of very firm points, was pleased to see the pencil wiggling in the air, and promptly ignored everything I said. Now, here was the dilemma. a couple had been recruited on a cruise ship. Now, the cruise ship, I believe they flew out. This is part of the cruise ship thing. You don't do the whole bit. You do one sector. You fly to some spot, I don't know, Orlando in Florida, and then you you take the cruise ship getting back to where it was. But they had, he got word back that even though the cargo had been safely brought on board, because, you know, the stops in port for a few times, especially up, what could we say? What was the thing that wiped out the dinosaurs that left a big crater in the Gulf of Mexico? Well, anyway, in the southern part of that, it had been safely loaded on in the cases. I think the number 5 was mentioned, something like that. Two things were wrong. Word had filtered back that they thought they might not, that people were paying a bit of attention to them on board. That's one. Oh, and the second thing. Now, if we cast our minds back about 5 minutes, where there was some bedtime stories being told, and I was pleased to see the pencil wobbling, I don't know what the hell he was doing with it, picking his nose with it, because it definitely had in it, you do not arrive back at Southampton. No? No. Hampton, South. It is, you know, British shores. Lots of things wrong with that anyway, but let's just say Southampton is not a place you want to come through. Oh, and now you're telling me even they are worried. Could you... And I know we went over this, but... could you tell me the cruise line? It was the equivalent of like Saga or something. Okay. And how old are these people? Really? Youngsters. What, married young, did they? 26. Good. You're in trouble, Jack. there are nobody. There's nobody else on board. So... of that age group. Anybody of that age is, you know, banging it away in Ithaca or on the Greek islands or Ibiza or something. They're not sitting on a floating prison full of unable to digest their pharynx. You're fighting over their last lonely croissant on the breakfast tray. Oh, no. But it was a saving grace. I thought, looked at the map, looked at the thing, looked at the thing, what's it? You can do what I say now, in which case lots of things change. Or you can not. But believe me, if you don't, you're in trouble. Now, the do what I say bit, involved, it were Cape Verde. Ever heard of it? It's an island. Kind of, you know those places that exist in the mid-Atlantic or mid-Pacific, like Midway Islands, called Midway because it's midway between, you really need it to be where it is. Cape Verde is a little bit like that. It's an independent state. It's not part of the EU or anything. That it's a bit scruffy. But you do get the cruise ships stopping there just for the hell of it, really. Break up the voyage somewhat. And luckily, because sometimes with this bunch of... I mean, the hospital ward on these ships is, like, massive, you know. There's a big clinking of, like, drips and things as they wheel them down the gangway. Everything's handicap friendly, I can tell you on that thing. And these youngsters running around there making wisecracks. God. Okay, you get somebody else, right? They
switch.
Take it off at Cape Verde. The 5 go off there. They stay there. They get back on the stupid thing. They don't try and change their ticketing or get sick or make up some story, because it's not going to wash, and it'll just mean choice of being arrested in a country you know or a country you don't know. And there it is. You going to do it? Yeah. I said to my friend in the middle, is this guy you were telling me about? Yeah. Why am I even here? Wasting my time. If I was that way inclined, get the money up front and get out of here for the advice, because this guy had even been... This is how had too many irons in the fire. He managed to get himself kidnapped by people here.
What, in the UK?
Yeah.
Pablo?
No, not Pablo. This English guy who was doing the phony wine investments, the moving into empty houses, and on top of that, getting stuff loaded onto a cruise ship with the wrong passengers. That's what I'm saying. It's mixed up in so many things. Grandstanding to such an extent that there's nobody, and you could meet people on the London Underground who'd be telling you stories about it. Oh, Jeff, yeah, I heard he's in trouble. When was that? I don't know. I got a call at about 9:30. I mean, you know, it's it didn't even match with anything. So I didn't want to be part of it. His saving virtue was he behaved himself during the kidnapping. Yes, there is a kind of decorum with these things. And I know it was all genuine. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he said that the worst part of it was being tied up in uncomfortable positions. And now that might sound trivial, but if you're tied up like belly down, for example, with your appendages tied behind you, that is unbearable after a while. You can't roll anywhere. Oh, it's just you end up screaming. I mean, I know the Russians used to tie people to radiators and they like their heating. But, managed to get out of that, being all kidnapped and whatnot. Didn't do the right thing about it. Mind you, since everything he did was wrong anyway. I got to find out next time. Is he dead? I think something terrible. Because I haven't finished the story, have I? What's happening on board? Capo Verde?
My guess is get the youngsters off.
Yeah.
Have an old couple on another cruise stop it onto the island.
Oh, I see. Right.
And switcheroo.
Yeah, that would have been... that wasn't actually how I had it laid out.
Or fly out with someone who just flies out.
Yeah, it was the latter. It was... They get it onto Capo Verde. It's safe there. Safe as you can make it at short notice anyway. They get back on board, face the music, get spun or whatever. When they get to Southampton, but at least nobody's under arrest. Leave it for a bit. Don't rush out there. Do a transit stop from Capo Verde and then onward to somewhere where, you know, low value. So it's not going to get jumped on. Didn't do any of that. Managed to convince himself in his...
genius of his...
genius, the only word. I was just stoking the fires of fear and they'd probably be all right. On board those ships are a security unit, which when they're not mopping up geriatric's vomit and trying to resuscitate someone from their, they walk around like defibrillators on each shoulder holster. The only exciting thing is when they say something that is a complete mismatch. What the hell? So, when they go somewhere, they even had a stop. They couldn't be bothered leaving the cabin to get out and visit the crappy port, wherever it was. I mean, they certainly got off at the port where they had to get off at the port they had to get off for. To miss one? They want to miss the samba classes at 5:45 in the afternoon with the Jerrys. I don't think so.
And the aqua, what's it called? The aqua?
Aquabiotics.
Aquazumba, isn't it, something?
No, will they ever come up again? Boat reaches Southampton. It is, their luggage seems to be the only late ones. Because customs weren't there, you know, I want to get a good laugh out of this. They already know from onboard security what the story is. It's just a matter of who's going to pay the price. I get a call from friend in the middle. It's a problem.
It's almost election day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the Transit app or at COTA.com.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Let's not continue this conversation. I'll see you tomorrow. Anyway, the problem was, as you'd expect, being arrested. The girl got somehow let go, but did this. After a bit of mucking around, I mean, considering what the load was, it was not inconsiderable. He gets bailed. Never heard of such a thing. I asked.
Unless they're tracking.
Did the police object to it? Apparently not. And this was in a magistrate's court. So it didn't even have to go up the road. No. No, he's finked you all out. So, the only sensible, this lunatic, Pete, no, we're calling him Jeff, aren't we? Jeff ever did was then decide other parts of the world were better places to live. But there is some... I know I've put him in the category of people that I can talk about without... fear that he'll have something to worry about. And that consequence, I'll have to check a couple of things on it. But I think it's sticky ends. Yes, definitely sticky ends. And oh, yeah, that's right. Multiple court cases, the police saved it all up, they knew about the properties, and did he slip through the net? You know, there's some people, they have a certain amount of unlikely good luck and then just manage to screw it up anyway. There are so many like that, and I think that is kind of what happened to him. Now, so I've got, oh yeah, I didn't tell you, the lollipop man. I've lost him. Why have I lost him? Because I'd lent him out. I didn't really want to. It's just I couldn't do anything about it. got a message through Central, which handles stray messages, saying, you know, he's not dead or anything. He's in the immigration detention centre in Bangkok and can't stand it any longer. Well, he couldn't. It's horrible. I mean, you've got to pay. I mean, you know, these guys who go in, they never come out because they've got no country, no passport, nothing. There's a whole lot of, generally, in terms of numbers, I think Ghanaians and Nigerians top the list, who've got used to living in there because there's no way out. Ever since the great, I think this happened three times, passport scams by their own government, by their own people, saying, "Ah, oh, don't worry, guys. No, we do all the passports at once. It's on the first Tuesday in Sacavenda or whatever the month is where everybody gets conned." they just don't. You got to feel sorry for them in a way, but they have carved out some kind of existence in the place by really draining and milking the half-wit Westerners who come in there. Now, what was the lollipop man doing in there? Because he wasn't working for me, because I really wasn't just doing that much. Everything seems sort of kind of unappealing. After all, a Danish friend had had trouble. Oh, yeah, and he lost somebody and something. And I think one of his prime people had a heart attack. Another one disappeared. Another one just retired out. He had no money. He'd run up a big bill in a hotel somewhere, hadn't paid that. They went to the police. It was a big overstay on the thing, so he was just too broke to get out of it all. So I thought, well, I said to my friend, Nils, yeah, I got somebody for you, all right, and he's good. There's a little collection problem. You've got to kind of pick him up. What, from home? Well, I suppose he calls it that these days. And I explained that, yes, he had to have a detour. I said, well, anyway, that's all straightforward enough. I believe it's not much involved. So, but you've got to go grab him from there. All right. So I thought it was good. You know, at least he gets out of that, you know, living hell. I mean, renting a piece of cardboard on the ground in there is, you know, like a luxury move. He was brought to Spain, and I tell you what, it was just as well. It was a load of green, so it wasn't going to be. When it fell to pieces, it wasn't going to be a complete nightmare. But he went down, got out of Bangkok, had a week to recover and shake it off and whatnot, and have a couple of dozen showers. fed up a bit, you know, and taken to Europe. That's right, because he had his Roland Wynn passport, didn't he? Yeah, can't go wrong with that one. Oh, no. Snake eyes. Anyway. with Europe, I think the forces of darkness observing all of this were convinced it, because it was down Malaga way, that it was not green, that it was Chuck E. Cheese. So, but they were to be disappointed. But, and it was quite well made up in the vehicle. The trouble is, and I got a message from Central saying, listen, you got a message from, this is one we hesitant about taking because it's on your list, but it's really old. It goes back like 10 years or something. So it's lucky we keep the old number, and the old number normally doesn't ring unless it's really old. And you know, I didn't mind all that. What the damn message was? Danish guy, the one who would later end up having a heart attack and dropping dead, had to stop working because he's. It wasn't like somebody was going through an airport pretending to be. Well, this guy was a damn. Just couldn't carry anything, couldn't move anything, wheelchair bound. No, it's not a fake. Was he carrying nothing? There was no room after all the oxygen cylinders and all those drips and things. Couldn't fit anything anywhere. So, but he did pass on the message that Ernst Fingleton's telephone had been grabbed. Now, Ernst Fingleton knew everybody and would call everybody. And so there was a bit of a thing about, I don't know, all right, look, Nils is technically wanted on the run because he broke a parole thing. It's not such a big deal like it would be here, but why weren't they going to the trouble of arresting him? Because they wanted to see what he was up to. Okay, Ernst's number's been grabbed. It's got lots of people's numbers, and I wouldn't. Nobody knows whose numbers are on there. So what are they going to check everything? Listening on everything? But the thing is, they can do that there. I mean, they do that here. But it's got to be kind of something other than a blatant fishing trip, which this no doubt was. So they've got all the things they like to hear. You know, like... So he's in the hotel now, is he? Oh, he's okay. He knows he's got to drive a car. All right. Has he got the license? I mean, is there anything they've missed so far? You know? No, I mean, nobody said it's been packed properly, but, I mean, that'd be about the only thing they hadn't mentioned on this phone. So poor old Lollipop Man goes down to drive this thing up. There's a bit of a fight at the border because there is no border. It's under Schengen rules. But it's stopped and nobody, the Danes say, no, he's ours because he came through him. And then the Spanish saying, no, he's ours because, well, we want to steal cargo. Oh, well, you can have the cargo as long as we credit the arrest. Anyway, they somehow amongst complete crazy policeman's logic, which is all the people we don't like are going to jail. I think you're corrupt, but I'm going to let you get away with this one because otherwise I know what you're going to do. You're going to take the whole arrest and you'll never... I suppose, looking at the benefit, at least he was not in a... Which would you prefer, in a Danish jail or a Spanish one?
Danish.
I think so. At least you can cook your own food and you get paid decent money, you know. So.
Low recidivism.
And very low, yeah. Mostly because they can't be bothered arresting people. No, they've got enough, you know, crawling off the boats, let alone. I've got time to deal with locals. What do you mean you shot him? Yeah, okay, did you bury him? Good. Case closed. You know, they, if it's the Bandidos and the Hell's Angels, at least they know what they're doing, you know. When it's got all these loonies from running around Sweden. What, they're using hand grenades and explosives now there? God. And, you know, it's one of the least safe places for women, Sweden, now.
Terrible. 10 minutes to cliffhanger.
Okay. So, that's all pretty much a mess, isn't it? They're all arrested. My name even comes up, and that's why I know it was Ernst Fingleton. I can think of a lot of rude things to say here, but Ernst's phone, and we can chisel down another caveat and warning about working in that part of the world.
Part 15 coming soon.
The Lollipop Man's kind of, he's kind of had enough. And I don't blame him, you know. I would think, what's the matter with these guys? And this is like job 3 in a row. And it's gone belly up. I was thinking to myself, now it's a very tough decision to make. You either you say, okay, I'm going to get this right under the new rules that apply, and the new rules are rather strict, and that means dump just about everybody you know. And recreated in the old way. So I thought, there's nobody much I really want to work with, but I don't need to. And I don't kind of want to. Let's go back to the things you do full-on research and development stuff, you know, check these islands and see if there's a flaw in it, because I thought there must be. And there was, but that'll keep. What to do about Matthias? I mean, you know, he's a lifelong friend, very nice guy, but, I mean, to say that he had a problem with intoxicants, and I think there might be an understatement. It's a bit like saying a Saturn V rocket is a bit uses a bit of fuel on takeoff. certainly does, and boosts the stages. So I thought, okay, but he's there, and he's you know, at least three times a day, he's sober enough and together enough. Retire him out, cut him in on something, just for handling the things where you know somebody has to go and make a deposit or do something or do a booking in a certain way. So, but I hadn't been in touch with him for a while because I'd had some other problems. I thought it was a little bit unusual, but I'd say I really liked him. You know, somebody who knows to shut up when you don't want to talk, and you can share a house with, and it's not a thing, and all of that. There is something, though, that he, he must have been getting on to, like, 67, 68 or something. So, due for retirement. He must have been having some thoughts along those lines himself. Because he did the following. He had a nice house down in Bad Nauheim, where Elvis Presley did a bit of his service down there when he was in the army. And Matthias paid up the rent, bought a huge roll of plastic, lined it from one end of his living room to the other, weighed it down, made copies. I think he sent the originals of his house keys and keys to other things he had, car, put them in a padded envelope and sent it off to his cousin with a very ambiguous note. Sat in the middle of that room and took out a hunting rifle and blew his brains out. And that news I got from his sister. So it might not be a cliffhanger, but it was the end of more than something, and I blame myself for it, really, because, I mean, it's not my job to go and get people work, but, and I'm angry with him, you know, for having thrown it in. But I knew I should have been in touch earlier. I just couldn't have. And, you know, I don't think it's anything. I mentioned before we came on air that I'd had some friends from Australia. I do keep in touch with people. The people who visited go back to when I was working at that sleazy cinema back in Australia when I was like 19 or something. So I don't let people go. None of you are safe. You know, I will know you to your last breathing moment, or probably mine, since they seem to be limited these days. So the thing was, here I was with the good people dead, the riffraff still around, some great sense of something unfinished, undealt with, a lot of things at loose end. I'd have to start new and different in some way.
Wow. And there you are with David McMillan, part 14. Part 15 will not be 2 years hence, because we're filming it tomorrow morning. It'll be in a few months. We'll keep these rolling. I think he's got at least another 20 parts in him. And,
I certainly feel like that way.
Subscribe to
one
David
of them's
McMillan.
Poking through my bum right now.
Subscribe to David McMillan's YouTube channel. You can get signed copies of his book as well. Signed copies of his books.
Not many of them. I don't really like signing them, but if you send me enough money.
You used to be gung-ho about that.
I was. I was charging £50. But people are now still paying £50 and they still want them.
There's a lot to it. International shipping's gone up, hasn't it?
Oh, it has. And I've got a new fan in Indonesia whose job is, he gets clients for local lawyers. Because he's got a kind of like an international pen pals thing or something going on. Anyway, I don't know whether he's very successful at it, but he is one of the kinds.
Might come in handy for you someday.
Perhaps so. I mean, I don't mind corresponding with somebody like that. Yeah. I get, who are your weirdos on your channel?
Who are my weirdos?
I mean,
we have a team of mods who zap the weirdos.
Right, but I mean, do they have any unique? Listen, there is something. If somebody has a kind of a stupid name, Prince Sokomov or something like that, I don't know what, but that's not a good start. Something with a bunch of numbers and letters in the end part of it, which means they've got like a million YouTube accounts because they burnt the bridges on a few of them. Just weirdos who think they know it all and want to tell you your own business.
You just can't stop people having opinions. Well, that's freedom of speech.
We're losing that, by the way. You know, you can... not even freedom of thought. A man has been conditionally released for thinking something. Not expressing it. He was praying silently.
George Orwell was right.
And that's a nicking now.
There's people getting nicked for Facebook tweets, posts on social media. It's insane.
Mm. The quality of the offence is so poor. You look okay. Some of them have been ratty and stupid, but if you can't be ratty and stupid on a Facebook post, where are you going to do it? The new, you know, any law that comes in saying it's for safety, it's for your good, it's for the kiddies. What are you going to stand up against laws for the kiddies? What kind of, we're going to freak out, you bear watching, take his name. The law will be saying you have to age identify yourself. That will supply all our mates at Meta and Alphabet. And whatever's left of the symbols of the universe, with the least you can get away with is a charge card, because that you wouldn't have one unless you were 18. But you could have, couldn't you? So maybe they will want the full Monty, you know, like a passport or a driver's license or something. And that's what they've always been drooling over, haven't they? Can you imagine what their AI will make of scanning through everybody's mugshots?
Wow.
To determine their characteristics. Plus, they know where the machine was identified that they did this on, so their keyboard strokes can be analysed.
It might revolutionise phrenology.
could bring it back into fashion, couldn't it? Isn't that the feeling of bumps on the head?
That skull size. And
that. Yeah. I'm fine, believe it. Anyway, so there
you have it, folks. Yes? Episode 14. It's been a long time overdue. Hope you've enjoyed it as much as me. David's the kind of guy, in the ancient times when there was campfires, people would sit around and the elder would get out and just mesmerize everybody with a really long, gripping, epic tale. You are in that, the midst of that now, and there's much more to come. Thank you, David.
And good to see you again.
You too.
And
cheers.
I'm very much looking forward to afternoon tea.
Fantastic.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices with beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.